Morning.
How is everybody?
We're really feeling good, thank you.
We are here, Chair. Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Chair.
Morning, members.
Morning, Chair.
Morning, Whip. Morning. Can we then start today? I think it's the day that we are going to go through and adopt our report. I will then request Ms. Ndabeni to take us through the roll call. Ms. Ndabeni?
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, as well as colleagues. So far from the committee, we have the following members: the honorable Chairperson, honorable Ngabane, honorable Mdabe, honorable Nontsele, honorable Zuma. We also have honorable Bagrim, honorable Kado, honorable Yinana, honorable Mkondo, as well as honorable Denner. And from the committee support staff, we have myself, the committee assistant, Portia Ndabeni, the researcher, Tebuo Mukwena, as well as the content advisor, Sibongiseni Ngcobo. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ndabeni. I hope we don't have guests. Is there anybody who's outside from
I see someone from PMG, Chairperson. They always indicate that they have a problem with their mic. I see Karishni Delicia November from PMG.
Oh, okay. No, thank you very much. I find it very strange, just in passing, that I have been phoned by somebody, a member of public, who told me that he logged in the committee. Who never, when we ask people to introduce themselves, that they are not doing that. I find it very strange because nothing has changed in people. Yes, meetings, committee meetings are public meetings. People are allowed to come, but people are allowed they must introduce themselves as we used to do in a physical sitting. And I just said to myself, this fourth industrial revolution is going to bring in some tendencies that we don't know. Ms. Ndabeni, I hope you will, there are no apologies.
No, Chairperson, I didn't receive any apologies for today.
No, thank you very much. Can you then, because ours today is to look into our report and adopt it, the report that was on all the presentations that were done last week by the department and its entities. Are you able to flag the report, Ms. Ndabeni?
Chairperson, when I spoke to the content advisor, he was the one who was going to share to flag the presentation. The report this morning.
Okay. And where is he?
Who
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and colleagues. I'm trying to flat the report. Is it showing?
It's not showing.
Is it showing now?
It's showing, and your face must also show. It is showing. We are on introduction, honorable members, which is page one. Can it move? Any comments on introduction? I'm of the understanding that all members received the report yesterday morning. If there are no comments on 1, 2, the strategic plan of the Department of Employment and Labor. Don't be too fast. Those are the entities. We can move to point 2.3. Two point three point one and two point three point two. Okay, you can move. Move 2.3.3, which is page 3. Any comments? Okay. You can move. Now we are on 2.4, which is the annual performance plan of the Department of Labor. There is the table extended to us last week. You can move. Their program is presented. 2.4.1. You can move. If there are any comments, there are risks and mitigation. This is page 5. You can move. If there are any comments. If there are any comments, you can move. We're on page 6. You can move. If there are any comments. All right, if there are any comments, you can move. 2.4.1.2, budget tax implications. Is there any comments, you can move. Which is program 2, inspection and enforcement services. as the notes as presented. Are there any comments? You can move. Key risks and mitigations and mitigation. 2.4.2.2 budget cuts and implications. We can move. Two point 4.3, which is program 3, public employment services. You can move. Is there any comments on 2.4.3.1, key risks and mitigations? You can move. Budget cut implications, there they are as presented, which is 2.4.3.2. Then 2.4.4 is the program for labor policy and industrial relations. If there are no comments, you can go up. Can go up. If there are any comments? You can go up. Then we are on support employment enterprises, SEE. There is the strike plan as presented. 2.4.5.1. You can go up. There, as what they presented in the meeting last week, can go up. Their APP and their key risks and mitigation. You can go up. And it is of the Department of Employment and Labor, there they are, we know, UIF, CCMA, NEDLAC, PSA, and Compensation Fund. On 3.1, which is Unemployment Insurance Fund, can go up because this is what was presented to us, their strike plan. You can go up if there are any comments. You can go up. Yeah, economic transformation and job creation, which is priority 2. And their priority 4 is consolidating the social wage to reliable and quality basic services. There it is as they presented to us last week. You can go up if there are any comments. Priority 6 is social cohesion. If there are no comments, you can go up. Thank you. can go up. Can go up if there are any comments. Okay, you can go up. The program three, labor activation programs. This is program three. Thank you. We are on 3.2. Commission for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration. There are their programs as presented. You can go up. Their APP is their program one and program two. Can go up. Program 3, Special Investigation Support. Program 4, Efficient and Quality Dispute Resolution Enforcement Services. You can go up. Their Strategic Management and Governance, which is program 5. Can go up. The impact of the budget over the MTEF period. Can go up. If there are any comments. Then compensation fund, 3.3.1, the strike plan, priority 1, capable and ethical development stage. Can go up. Their APP is with their programs. Can go up. Their budget can go up. Productivity SA 3.4. And before there's something on productivity SA. Okay, go to where you started. There's something that I would love that it should be bold. The functions of the productivity SA are, if you can put that in bold.
Okay.
Can you go up? Note that so that when we...
I've noted, Chair.
2.4.1, the estate plan. Okay, 2.4.1. Can you go up? There is the priority one as presented. Go up. Okay. Their APP, their programs, which are illustrated, their administration competitiveness, business turnaround, go up. There is their budget. Go up. Okay. Then we are on NEDLAC, National Economic Development and Labor Council. If there are any comments, go up. There is the strategic plan as presented. Go up. There are their programs. Point 5.1, 3.5.1.2. Yeah, any comments? Can you please move up? Program 3, capacity building, the APP. Go up. Capacity with the last one is the capacity building. Then we are on point 3. Is there a members all in? Do I still chair a
Yes, Chair. The committee is still alive and intact.
Thank you, Honorable Mkond. We are now on 3, which is our committee observation. On all the presentations that they have been made. I will then now allow members to comment, add, delete, with an understanding that whatever is going to be proposed, it must then be agreed to by members, and then we will factor in whatever is going to be deleted. It will then be supported. The only thing that will not be an issue as such will be any grammatical corrections, a full stop, a comma, well, people, but that in terms of the body and the content of the report, in areas where we want some additions, we then have to do that and put them through in there. I won't be able to see hands because the report is on the screen. I would appreciate if members can, and if those who are unable, who have got a problem with either your network, but you are able to put something on the chat, please do that. We will then request the staff at some point to when we are done with one point. If there is a point on the chat, they must then indicate. But I will also check myself if there are any comments in the chat box. Can I get the hands?
I would like to say something, Madam Chair. Are we going to speak per paragraph, or how are you going to actually do it? Michael Bagram.
Yeah, okay. We are on observations. If there is on observations, if there is a, if in point one, I'm making an example, you feel that there is something that is to be corrected, you will do that. If you think that there is something that is to be added in terms of the points, you will say, I would like to add as a last point this. I would like to add as an opening a point this. But our focus is going to be on observations. Not unless you want to go point by point. I don't know whether will that be. I don't think there is my suggestions are. And will make things difficult. Members will indicate. I hope I've responded to your question.
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy with that. If we're looking at observations,
do you want to speak now?
I'm happy, unless you want to get a list first.
Yes, I would like to get a list first.
Michael Carter.
Honorable Cardo. Honorable Cardo, Honorable Bagram, Honorable Cardo.
Honorable Nontele Chair, can the staff help you or by reading on the platform, Chair, because there are other hands there. That's my worry.
Come again.
Okay. There are other hands there. I'm not the only one that has raised a hand. So I'm worried that you might be distracted. Can the staff help you by just reading the names on the platform?
That's very good. Thank you. It's Honorable Bagram, Honorable Cardo, Honorable Nontele. Other hands, Poshia.
Honorable Ngabane, Chairperson.
Honorable Ngabane.
Those are the only hands I can see, Chair.
Those are the only hands for now. Thank you. Thank you. Honorable Bagram.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just in terms of the committee observations in the first bullet point, I personally think that the first bullet point should be that the department needs to very carefully look at the efficiency of the various entities, because it looks like all the entities are failing. All of them but for NEDLAC have failed their audits, and the others have had serious problems with the public. So I would suggest that we make the first bullet point that the department has a very careful look at the efficiency and capability of each entity. And that would be my first bullet point. In terms of the second bullet point, I'm not sure how transformation would remain a priority when, in fact, the department is, because of the budget cuts, they're actually shrinking their staff, not gaining. As you can see from the CCMA, they've had to shrink almost 47% of their staff, of their commissioners. So I'm not sure how transformation is going to be a priority. In terms of the third bullet point...
Can I, Can I disturb you? Remember that when you propose an addition or a reworking, we must then first get the views of other members. So if you get to, you go to a next point, in my view, there's going to be a little bit of a stampede there. So can you just hold? You are then saying, you are proposing that the first bullet is that the department should look at the efficiency and the capabilities of all entities. Is there anybody want to comment on that?
Honorable Ngabane Chair, can I comment on that point?
Yes, Honorable Ngabane.
No, Chairperson, in relation to the point that Honorable Baykram is raising, with regards to the observations as far as the capacity and efficiency of the entities is concerned. My submission in relation to that will be that we need not to be unfair to us as the portfolio committee as well as the entities. When we are trying to then evaluate their performance, we need to consider some of the factors that may be hindrances or have then affected their performance. For instance, we understand very well that there has been a breakdown of the pandemic of COVID-19. So in supporting what he's trying to raise, I would then propose that maybe we rephrase the point and accept it, but it should read as follows, Chair, that there has been interruptions in planning, in execution of plans, in sourcing of resources and their distribution that has been occasioned by the breakdown of the pandemic. COVID-19 has stalled economic activities, job creation and livelihoods. I'm trying to support him, but I propose that it should be phrased in this fashion, Chairperson. Thank you.
Any other addition?
Michael Carter.
Honorable Carter.
Hi, Chair. I agree with Honorable Bagram that we need to have a better framing bullet point that introduces this section. I don't think that an observation about advocacy and outreach campaigns really sets the right tone for what we need to be saying. I mean, this is really a very marginal, tangential point in the grander scheme of things. As I say, at every one of these considerations of the budget, I always think we should kick off by looking at the state of unemployment in South Africa, record what it is, in other words, observe what the unemployment rate is, the official unemployment rate of 32.5% and the expanded unemployment rate of 42.6%, I think it is, off the top of my head, and observe that the unemployment situation in South Africa is getting worse. Concede that the pandemic and the associated lockdowns have exacerbated the state of affairs, but note that our unemployment crisis has structural roots and that the Department of Employment and Labor was reconfigured back in 2019 in order to better address the job creation aspect of the portfolio. And by setting up the observation in such a way, I think we will be able to make better recommendations about what the department can do to address the unemployment crisis. And yes, of course, flowing from that, it's necessary to reflect on and observe the shortcomings within the department and the entities as captured by Honorable Bagram. So my contribution is twofold. I think we should start off by observing about the unemployment situation, trying to capture broadly the reasons for it, the role of the department in addressing it, and then go on to say something about the dysfunctional state of many of the entities within the department. Thank you.
Honourable Nonsale.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Morning, Honourable Members. Chair, I'm in agreement with the Honourable Ngabane's formulation, because other members do also acknowledge that the opening statement would be much more inappropriate if it does not take into account the challenges that have come to fore. And the formulation, therefore, that is proposed by Honourable Ngabane takes that into account, and it talks to all the issues, both in the context of raising challenges faced economically, issues of job creation, and also the livelihoods. So that formulation, in my view, does in fact address all the issues relating to then specifics of the department. That's the body of the observations. Then it deals with those challenges, which members I think would appropriately be able to talk to, rather than to seek to consolidate or in fact to change the opening statement which Honorable Ngabane has proposed, which I think is more appropriate because it covers and captures all the critical areas that are important. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Can I make a, because it then means we must then have a sentence, because all members have spoken on the matter, but we need to have a paragraph that is then going to be suitable as an introduction, I think, which is, if I was listening carefully, that it has been interruption. We have observed that there has been interruption in planning, in execution of plans, in sourcing of resources and their distribution, and that has been occasioned by the breakout of the pandemic COVID-19, which has stalled economic activities, job creation, and the livelihood. Because we can't begin to question the job creation by the department now, at the time when we know that we are in the second year of the pandemic, and we are alive to the fact that we have been hard hit. And the employment part, the new mandate, is that we're still awaiting to be really to unpack and understand, and in the middle of that, then the pandemic. So I think of Honorable Cardo, in your submission, if I listen to you properly, attentively, is that I understand and I know that we are concerned about job creation, but we must be alive to the fact that we are now in a very difficult situation globally now and here at home. So this opening remark on the observations, I think it is correct on I think I'm putting to the committee on the issue that I've raised. I think it's more similar to what Honorable Ngabane raised, and then we'll then come with the points. That statement will then be an introduction for our committee observations. That is what then I will then put across to the meeting. Can we, I hope those that have are taking notes, they have noted that introduction. I will then allow Honorable Begum to come to your next point.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next point was, the second bullet point is this transformation in the department and entities remains a priority. And I don't believe that that should be a priority. I understand that transformation must remain on the agenda. That's not a problem. But we have a greater priority in what we've actually just been discussing. The priority is, first of all, to deliver, which must be service delivery. And we've heard so much now in the past 2 months about the lack of service delivery. And we've also heard about the lack of capabilities because of funding and all sorts of things. So those should become the priorities. We can move the transformation down, the bullet point down, and not remain a priority. We can say transformation in the department and entities remains an issue and should be implemented as soon as possible, but not a priority. We've got bigger problems. And so that was my point about that.
What are you proposing?
So that
members are able to engage. If you are saying transformation is not a priority, what is it that you are proposing?
I'm proposing that we put the wording transformation in the department and entity remains unfulfilled.
Remains unfulfilled due to?
Well, we can say all sorts of things, due to lack of funding, lack of employment. It does remain unfulfilled. They haven't transformed. But it can't be a priority when we are trying to have service delivery to the public. So the workers of South Africa are all crying that the department doesn't deliver, and then we say, no, the priority is transformation. It doesn't make sense. It is unfulfilled, and I understand that, and they must still have it on their agenda. But when they are growing their staff, when they are promoting their staff, then transformation becomes an issue. But at the moment, it's shrinking. The department is shrinking. The entities are retrenching their staff. They're not doing replacements. How are you going to have transformation as part of that? Doesn't make sense. All I'm saying is transformation in the department entities remains unfulfilled. That's an observation.
Okay. Any comments?
Chair.
Honorable Nontel.
Honorable Chair, I think at the risk of being upset with regard to the
report.
I would rather request that Honorable Vikram accept the formulation as it is. You can't say that the transformation has not been attended to or remains outstanding, and therefore I feel that it should not be a priority. It really, really doesn't make sense. Immediately that you accept that it has in fact not been attended or is an outstanding issue, and therefore it impacts on a range of issues, including the ability of those who are engaged in the institution to have a movement upwards, for those who have been historically disadvantaged. But secondly, the issues of gender, and thirdly, the issues of all the designated groups that stand to benefit from the transformational policies that the government has put in place. If we are going to just pass a statement that just generalizes without saying emphatically that it must be a priority, really, it really doesn't make sense. Hence my plea to my colleague, Honorable Begum, that we retain the formulation as it is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Just to also to remind members that you are aware, most, that we are going to go to a budget vote. if then a person has got a view, were allowed to reflect on those, but Honourable Nonsele is humbly requesting that Honourable Bagram must reconsider and allow transmission in department and entities remain a priority, not to be changed and stay as it is.
Chair,
Honourable Mkhonto.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. I just want to check, Chair, maybe the on observation, the point that I want to raise maybe is there, but not on the screen. If you remember very well, Chair, when we visited the UIF center in Pretoria, we observed that there was a very high vacancy rate, specifically on the call center. I don't know how can we put that one, Chair, as an observation, or is maybe covered in other points that are not reflected on the screen. I think that is very important, Chair, to talk about, because the call center is at the interactive position with the public. It affects the public in interacting with the department or the UIF. Thanks.
Can I pack that, Honourable Mkhonto, because we will still go to entities as we are going up. Can you go up there? Mr. Ngobo? Oh, okay. We will... We'll factor what Honourable Mkhonto is saying. Can I then get are we agreeing with what Honourable Mkhonto is raising, Honourable Members, to be factored in as an observation in terms of UIF?
I certainly do, Michael Bagram. I would support that.
Okay, we'll put that as the last bullet. All right. Are there any comments on observations?
Yeah.
I still have a few comments.
You can't talk all at the same time.
Did we not have a speakers list, Chair?
Honourable Kado. Honourable Kado?
Yes, I'm here and listening attentively.
I thought you wanted to speak.
Yes, I'm saying, did we not have a speakers list? Are we not carrying on with reflecting on the observations?
Speak, please, Honourable Members. Honourable Kado, I've called you to speak.
Thank you. Chair, my supplementary points in addition to what I said earlier is that I think we really need to observe something about the employment job creation aspect of this department. So employment was added to the portfolio in 2019. We've been told regularly during budget speeches and the like that job creation has been institutionalized into the structure and the programs of the department. But I, for one, am none the wiser 2 years on exactly how that's occurred. And I'm sure we have, if memory serves, agreed in the past at this committee to get the department to come and tell us exactly how the job creation aspect of the portfolio has systematically been worked into the programs and projects of the department. And that hasn't happened. So I think we should make an observation in that regard. Then secondly, a lot of these observations are, in my view, pretty nugatory in that they don't actually say anything. For example, bullet point three, supportive employment services has developed new innovative products to improve their financial sustainability. Well, you know, so what? Does it actually matter? Is it an observation that's worthwhile making when there are so many other more important observations to be made about the state of the department and its entities? Another one is a couple of bullet points further down. Entities such as CCMA and EDLAC and productivity SA play complementary roles in ensuring effective and efficient relationship between labor and business. You know, that's like saying the sky is blue. We know it. I don't think it is a remarkable enough point to be an observation of this committee. What this committee should be focusing on is the state of the department, the functionality of its entities, audits, and outcomes as a way of segueing into useful, concrete, tangible recommendations that we can make. Thank you.
You can't, if I just want to, I don't want to say question, but I'm appealing to members. If you want a, you don't just throw a statement and make a comment and not come with an observation because not come with a new proposal. To you, it may not be important. I'm just making an example, and we have to correct that. Support employment enterprises, which is bullet three. Maybe to you, Honorable Kado, that SEE has developed new innovative products to improve their financial sustainability. Maybe to you, it's not important. But you'll find that to another member, that is important. I'm just making, I'm picking up an example. To me, in particular, it is important that observation, because since 2019, we have having a problem that unit is unable to generate funds. Now that they have, they think outside the box, that they must look onto some other ways of generating income. And that is just said to be something, it may not be important to you, but to me it is a very important and a profound observation on how the leadership of that unit has now began in this difficulty, began to say, how then do we assist ourselves in then generating funds? So if you think that is not important, come with something that you think is important so that we engage. So that we engage. And I don't want here in this meeting to start our debate. Our debate is on Friday. Our debate is on Friday. Say, if you have got another point, put it. If you are being supported on that, fine. If you are not supported on that, it's okay. You know that we will be in a debate. So I don't want us to start our budget vote by default in this meeting. Let's then just focus. What are you proposing so that members understand?
Yes, I'm proposing in the case of NEDLAC, for example, where we talk about the budget reduction. My overall point about some of these observations is they don't really get to the core of the problems faced by the department. And surely it's our role as a portfolio committee in exercising oversight to cut through everything else and to grapple with what the core problems are so that we as a committee can make recommendations and ensure that we exercise oversight to fulfill whatever action steps we take in order to address those recommendations. So, for example, in the case of NEDLAC, you know, the big problem with NetLAC is that it spends a significant part of its budget on salaries. That's a worthwhile observation to make, so that in future we can recommend what action steps can be taken to lower expenditure on salaries. Another thing about NEDLAC that's worth observing is that for years it's been engaged in a re-evaluation of its governance structures, its statutes have been re-examined, and there are activities on the go that we heard about when NEDLAC presented to this committee only last week about what's happening to readdress the composition, the configuration, the governance of NEDLAC, the statutes that govern NEDLAC in order for it better to fulfill its job. To me, that's a pretty core, worthwhile observation making. So my broader point is that let's grapple with the important stuff in the case of each of these entities. Sometimes these observations get it right. So for example, you know, where it makes a point about the compensation fund audit outcome not having improved and the fund not having updated the committee on its progress. Yes, that's a worthwhile observation to make. In some other instances, we focus on extraneous, less important, subsidiary, minor stuff. And I think that needs to be addressed. And I've given you an example of how we might address that in the case of NEDLAC, for example. Thank you.
Can I get, because I don't want a dialogue. Any comments, honourable members, on what honourable Kadwa is raising?
Chair, can I come in?
Honourable Monsele.
Chair, can I make proposals on bullet three? Bullet three, there's a misprint there. It says supported employment services. When it's supposed to be supported employment enterprises, if that correction can be made first. But then the second point I would want to put a proposal on is that we also again restate what we have in fact made a commitment on as one of the areas that need to be undertaken as part and parcel of supporting the viability of the SEEs, the area that relates to it not being able to be given a preferential treatment in terms of procurement, given that the people who are engaged in these services are in fact on their own already a designated group because of there are people living with disabilities. So I would propose a new bullet, number four, that immediately comes after that one that I was saying need to be corrected. That should read as follows. The SEEs is not benefiting from any sort of preferential procurement by the state, despite the committee having recommended in the previous year that this be so, full stop, so that we are able then to come up again to restate with again that resolution on the recommendation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. Any other comment or observations?
Comrade, Honorable Ngabane, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Ngabane.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Chair, I just want to speak on bullet number 5, Chair. When I look at the formulation of this sentence, it reads as follows, Chair. It says, the compensation fund audit outcome has not improved and the fund has not been updating the committee on the progress of the implemented turnaround plan of the fund. Now, Chair, if my memory serves me well, I can't remember any report being tabled or presented before the committee on the audit findings by the Auditor General, Chair. So I then propose that maybe we reformulate this this sentence, Chair, to read as follows. That the compensation fund has the action plan. Hence, we remember that we did mandate the compensation fund to develop a turnaround strategy, which was then which we said it must be presented before the committee on quarterly basis. So my proposal will be that the reformulation must read as follows. The compensation fund has the action plan that is aimed at restoring the entity from the doldrums, but the committee has not constantly been updated about the progress the fund is making, if any, to turn it around. I think that reformulation is going to be proper because it is going to talk to what we know as the committee or to what has been presented before the committee rather than referencing to the audit outcomes as if there's any audit report that had been tabled before the committee. That's my submission, Chair. Thank you.
That's the submission, honourable members. Any comments, Chair? Honourable Mkhondo?
The compensation fund, when they presented their APP and strategic plan, this matter was raised, and I don't know whether Honorable Nkabane did listen to their response. They did not dispute this fact, Honorable Chair. They agreed but promised to improve the fact of their audit outcomes. I think if there was any misrepresentation of facts, they were given an opportunity to dispute that fact, but they did not. So my analysis is that they did not dispute the fact because it's a true reflection of what has happened. But I'm checking if maybe they feel they were not given an opportunity to dispute the fact. Now they can agree with what Honorable Nkabane is raising, because I don't want us to have statements that dispute things that we have agreed upon when these entities were presenting their strategic plans and APPs. Thanks, Chair.
Can I just comment just on that? Remember that, we have not yet been presented by the Office of the Auditor General on the state of the audit which has been performed in all these departments, because they were then that should have been the first presentation. And in checking and requesting the office, the Auditor General, to come and make presentation to the committee, the response was, unfortunately, they have not been able to do that now because of the magnitude of the work in terms of issues that are affecting COVID. So they apologized on that, and they then said that we will then have to have another look on another date. So we have got one-sided. We have not been presented so that we can, I don't think when it's being said, we must not reflect is that we have been misinformed by the compensation fund. But remember that we are to make our comparison on the basis of what has then been tabled in front of us by the Office of the Auditor General, so that we can boldly say the outcomes, because the outcomes at the end, in that we are forever guided by the presentation and the report of the Auditor General. Any other comments?
Well, Chair, if I may, Michael Bagram again.
Yes.
There's the last bullet point. Well, I think it's the last bullet point about NEDLAC received a budget of 59.9. No, it's not. It's the fourth last bullet point. Sorry. And they've now had a 200,000 Rand cut off. And they say it's going to affect and impact them on and their ability. I would strongly believe that an observation is that it hasn't affected them at all. Most of their debates aren't listened to in Parliament anyway. But it's a much smaller percentage is taken off them than off the CCMA, which we all agreed that the CCMA is a corner point. And in fact, they should be taking a lot more of their budget and giving that money to the CCMA, who could actually do the money and actually perform duties for the workers of South Africa. So I don't agree with this bullet point at all. It sounds really weird. And then if you look at the second last bullet point, it says the budget cut to the CCMA will have a negative impact on its ability. Not will have, has had a negative impact and will do so in the future to meet its mandate. In fact, they've said so. They're not meeting their mandate right now, and they won't meet it for the next 5 years. And we all know that if the CCMA is dysfunctional, none of the employees' rights are implemented at all. We may as well not have a Labor Relations Act. We seem to have lost the point of it altogether. Thank you.
On the CCMA, are you adding a bullet? Can you go up, Mr.
Yeah.
Okay.
All I'm saying about the budget cut.
Sorry, Chair, order. The problem here, Chair, is that the Honourable Background is also talking recommendations. That's the problem. So that's why we would be a bit in a difficulty. Can you hold back until we go to recommendation and see what the recommendations are saying to the statement that is acknowledging what he says, so that if there is a gap, then we can deal with that. That would be my proposal to him. Thank you, Chair.
No, I think on the bullet, he is talking on the CCMA, the budget cut, which is the second bullet from the bottom on recommendation, on observations. He's saying the budget cut on the CCMA will have, he say it must not say will have, it must say is. Can you repeat yourself, Honorable Bagram, so that I don't misquote you?
The budget cut to the CCMA has had a negative impact on its ability to meet its mandate.
Okay. Can you hold it there? Are we agreeing on that reformulation? The budget cut on CCMA has had a negative impact. Are we agreeing on that?
I agree.
Yes, Chair, I agree.
Okay.
Yes, Chair, we agree.
We agree,
no, that's,
Chair.
No, that's
yes,
right.
Chair, we agree.
Because that is what then Honorable Bagram was correcting in terms of the observations. Any other comments on observations?
If I may, Madam Chair, Michael Bagram again.
Are you on observations?
Yeah.
Okay.
The last bullet point, Productivity SA aims to improve productivity levels with a holistic approach by country level, industry level. And the reality is that our productivity in South Africa is the worst in the world. And we need to make that as an observation. It was put to them and they agreed that it is. And they're going to relook at their productivity and improve the levels they're aiming to improve. So we need to start off by saying, bearing in mind that productivity in South Africa has reached the bottom of the scale, something to that effect. It's no good saying they aim to improve, but it's in the middle of nowhere. Thank you.
Any comments? Will it be fair to say they are in the middle of nowhere when they have said in the committee that yes, there are areas where there is an improvement in productivity, that is why they do have some, what should I say, programs where they acknowledge workplaces where productivity has improved. But they did say that there is still lots to be done in terms of ensuring that workers do understand this concept of productivity. So to say they are in the middle of nowhere, I don't think that will be a correct reflection, because they did respond. We know that they do have some programs where they give some rewards to companies that have improved productivity. Maybe it's not at the level and the magnitude that would love that to happen. So I'm trying to correct that, Honorable Bagram, that I don't think it is fair. Well, fine, you will argue that in the debate, it's okay. I don't want us to start the debate here. Any comments, Honorable Members?
Yes, Chair, I have a comment on another subject, which is to
say
that...
Are you still on observations?
I'm still on observations. I don't think there's an observation about the Unemployment Insurance Fund, as far as I can tell. And we do need to make one, because there is a recommendation about the UIF in the subsequent section. So I do think we should tie up observations with recommendations. The recommendation about the UIF is with regards to the speedy finalization of cases of fraud and keeping the committee updated on developments relating to those cases. So I think we need to observe something in relation to that in this section. We might also observe that the UIF has come under tremendous strain in the last year because of COVID-19 and the pandemic. We might observe that it has dispersed a significant amount of funds due to the COVID-19 TERS program. And then also observe that the special investigating unit picked up potential cases of fraud and corruption to do with the disbursement of TERS funds. And that would link up nicely then with the recommendation. Thank you.
But you are aware that there is a recommendation that has also been put by Honorable Mkhonto that nobody commented about, and I hope it has been noted. Those are the three proposed recommendations on UIF. Honorable Members, any comment? It's about the cases, update on the cases of fraud, update on the, and also a reflection and an observation on the strain that UIF has been under through TERS, and the process of SIU that has identified some challenges around that in UIF. If there are any comments, I think the staff will then look into that. If there are any comments on those added observations?
Chair.
Honorable Nonsele.
Thank you, Chair. I think let's rather deal with the formulation. I think the principle is fine. Let's look at the formulation so that we then can be able to comment. If it's readily available, it can be read. Or it can be posted as we proceed with deliberation. On the point relating to the proposal by Honorable Mkhonto, I think Chair, you did clarify the point relating to the area that talks to the audit, which is a statement indeed which we raised in the earlier meeting, the portfolio committee meeting, which we should be restating. I think the point in my view would be the framing of the paragraph, so that it takes into account what you also caution against, that as yet we have not yet received an updated audit outcomes that talk to the performance of the fund. What it means at the same time is that the fact is that up until now, we have not as yet got any positive audit outcomes from the fund. So we're still sitting with negative audit outcomes. We are yet to see a positive one. So if therefore a formulation can be made so that we strike a balance between the sentiments you raised and as well as those that are raised by Honorable Mkhonto. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, when you make a proposal, if you can write in the chat, it's fine, because your formulation must not be a formulation that tomorrow members will say, no, we were never exposed to that formulation, we were only told by a formulation. I think that is the of this exercise, the gist of this exercise, so that tomorrow, any party here, when it goes to these recommendations, it does not then say, no, that formulation, we were never exposed to that formulation. So I will request if you can put a something in the chat or communicate with the committee section so that before we round up, we read that formulation and agree on it. Is that the only thing that you wanted to raise? I think she did talk about UIF, Honorable Mkhonto. Am I correct that you also spoke about the shortage in the UIF? Which I don't know.
Yes, Chair, the high vacancy rate on the UIF call center.
Yeah, Chair, can I come back, Chair? I didn't want to disrupt you.
Yes, I will answer.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on my suggestion on the comments, I think I don't want to misrepresent what Honorable Mkhonto wanted to say. As I think the draft or the formulation, because it would depend on her first to accept the principle I'm raising before we can then ask the committee, to do that. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you for that reminder, because it was spontaneous. Honorable Mkhonto, are you in agreement as a sponsor, as a person who are you in agreement with in principle with the content of the formulation that Honorable Nontswele is raising?
Yes, I agree, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Then what then Honorable Nontswele will do, or the scribers? I hope they are putting something on paper so that they will then read when we are done, so that when we then say this is what it's in the report, it that is also captured. Any other comments on recommendations? I'm sorry, on observations? No, thank you very much. Then we come into recommendations. Any comments?
I do have, Madam Chair. Michael Bagram.
Honorable Bagram. Oh, all right. Nobody's saying anything for now. Honorable Bagram.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are we looking just at the Department of Employment and Labour, the first part of the recommendations? So you don't want me to go on to all the others, or are you wanting me to comment on the whole lot together?
No, let's take, we are on the department. Let's focus on the department for now.
Thank you. You see at the first bullet point, and it's referring to the enabling environment for job creation. We're making the recommendation, but we're not actually telling them anything. We're asking them to step up activities or initiatives and programs, but we're not actually saying anything. Yes, I mean, motherhood and apple pie is good, but we must say why or how. And my strong feeling is that we need to say something like, let's encourage small business development or something of that nature. So that's the first bullet point. There's a second bullet point where we talk about consequence management. We know that there has been or should have been a disciplinary inquiry in the UIF. And whenever we ask the department what's happening and what's happened with the consequence management, I think we must get more regular reports on fraud within the department, not just saying that we want them to prioritize consequence management, but they must report back and let the public know what's happened. So that's the issue on that one. And then the third one...
No, don't go to the third one. No, that was allowed. Thanks. So the two. Any comments? Whilst members are still thinking, are you on the department and entities must prioritize? What were you supposed? I hear you also factor in a time frame. Can you repeat what you were saying on bullet two, Honorable Bagram?
Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't unmute myself for a second. I apologize. On bullet two, I'm asking the department and the entities not only prioritize the implementation and enforcement, but also to report back to the portfolio committee on a regular basis. Somehow they forget to report back to us, and we wait a year. There was another issue that we had spoken to them about, was the compensation fund, and we just didn't get a report back, and they said, oh, sorry, we forgot. So I would suggest that we put in as part of the recommendation that they do have a regular report on internal fraud and its consequence management.
On bullet one, you just throw in about SMMEs, and I couldn't just pick up what you were proposing?
What I was proposing is that we actually give them a handle. In other words, we say we want you to step up your initiatives and programs to support job creation, and especially look at SMMEs maybe in disadvantaged areas, because that's an area where they could work very closely with the SMEs and actually create jobs. So I would make an actual recommendation, so that once we've made the recommendation, we can always test it in 6 months' time and see if they've done anything.
Okay. So the time frame is 6 months?
Oh, yeah, or 5 years. I'm not married to that. All I'm asking for is let's try and make a recommendation that we can test at a later stage.
Okay. Well, remember, those are the two recommendations. Do we have any problem with that?
Honorable Ngabane, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Ngabane.
No, Chair, I just want to speak on the first point on the recommendations, Chair, that Honorable Baygram is proposing, Chair, to say we need to have in our statement, in our board statement that we've put here, the how part of it, because we speak of setting up initiatives and programs to create an enabling environment for job creation. Now, Chair, my understanding is that this one is just a broad statement. And when you look at the submission that he's providing before the portfolio committee, says that we need to speak on issues that relate to SMMEs and stuff. When you go down, say, to then look at the entities, the issues that he's then proposing before the committee are then covered on the recommendations when you look specifically on entities, because the department doesn't work alone or in isolation or in silos. It has got these entities that complement its work or its functionality, Chair. My proposal will be then we need to just leave that statement, that broad statement as it is. Because if you look at SEEs, supported employment enterprises, it covers already what he's talking about. When you look at the UIF bullet number 2, it talks about the how part of it. When you look at the productivity SA as well, Trey, it talks about the issues of small business. So we need not to just pile our document unnecessarily, whereas the issues that he's speaking on, they are already there in our report, Chair. I think it covers whatever the issues that is coming up with on the how part of it, Chair. That's my submission. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? I don't know if the sponsor would understand what then you are putting across, that is a broad statement, but as we will then be going down on then the responsibilities and the role that is played by entities, what the honorable member was raising. Honorable Baygram is covered on that, covered in that. In terms of bullet 2, he made a proposal in terms of the time frame. We are in agreement with that?
Yes, Chair. I think the principle is fine, but these are standard procedures that we would need always to emphasize.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. 4.2, now we're on entities. Can we make a, okay, on entities, support employment enterprise, that is the first correction that is to be made, supported employment enterprise. Any?
Can I comment?
I have a breakdown.
I just wanted to talk about supported employment enterprise. What we do know is that, and they made the point to the department, that the supported employment enterprise is helping people with disabilities, and it still remains for the last 10 years at 1%, even within the state enterprises. In other words, SOEs and within the government, we only have 1%. When we know that the population of disability is at about 6%, and I know you said about the Department of Employment and Labor above this, and that these are all generalized statements. This is a generalized statement, and we can tell them again. You're making the statement and means absolutely nothing again. They must improve. It's like my old school reports. It always used to say Michael Bagram must improve. Doesn't help anyone. We need to say that we are still sitting at 1%. We should be getting closer to the 6%. And the minister said 3%. We should get to 3%. So shouldn't we actually say that we must follow what the minister said, that we should be employing 3% of disabilities, either through supported employment enterprises or other entities. Thank you for that.
Can you rephrase your addition, Honourable Bakram?
I'm adding another sentence saying that that this committee notes that employment of the disability sector in South Africa still languishes at 1%, that the population has a disability factor of 6%, and the minister has encouraged the entities to push for 3% employment of disabilities, and we recommend that the 3% be a target within 1 year.
Any comments on that addition?
Yes, Chair. The principle is fine, except that we would just have to add that the quarterly basis, that is the report on a quarterly basis, should be in fact be maintained, so that by the time we come to the annual review, we at least are able to assess progress that is made on an ongoing basis. That's the first one. Then I would want, if that is the point, I would want to go to bullet two, Chair.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes, Honourable Ntela, you may.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Just in addition to the SEEs, the second bullet I would propose, in line with the recommendations or the observations that we have made earlier, that the department must work with National Treasury and speedily ensure that supported employment enterprises are preferred for procurement by the state when it comes to goods that they produce, so as to keep the state factories financially viable and in a position of creating more job opportunities. The point here, Chair, that we want to emphasize is that the problem of them not being able to be given preferential status is that they do produce quality material, and that they end up having to sell this quality material at reduced prices to viable commercial enterprises. I don't want to mention names. And then those commercial enterprises sell to the general public those goods at a much more higher price, which means that these SEEs, in fact, are running their business at a loss because they are unable to attract a good market supporters because of the preferential treatment that they are not given. So that's the second point bullet that we would want to put in. The third bullet that I would want to again put in is that the SEEs must develop and present within 3 months a comprehensive marketing strategy, which shall be monitored on a quarterly basis. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. There are the comments and the additions by Honourable Nontele. We are fine with that as a matter of principle. I hope the describers have picked that, have managed that to they will then be able to craft those sentences, to formulate those sentences within what members are raising. We're on UIF. If there are no comments on UIF.
I do have, again, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We should be, and because of the nightmare that we've seen over the COVID-19 and lockdown, in particular the lockdown where thousands of employees had to remain home and had to get their TERS, we should be saying something such as getting their administration in order. We know that the UIF administration has been in a complete mess and complete and utter mess. And I agree with the two bullet points that we got here, but I'm asking to add a new bullet point, and that is for a full report on the administration of the UIF and how they're going to improve it to the extent that the public are able to get answers from the UIF, either by telephone or by email or whatever. And that goes to the point, I think it was the Honourable Nontele, someone made the point earlier that the call centre is under-resourced. And I think that's an understatement because you can wait for hours to get an answer from the call centre. And should we not be making some recommendation? The UIF, after all, is the one entity at the department that is engaging with the public all the time. And, well, you know, Madam Chair, that I have sent thousands and thousands of emails to the UIF we think of my office has spent about close on 5,000 emails to the UIF. Of those, I've had a response to about maybe 1,000. And out of the 5,000, there must be some way in which we can try and get them to improve the administration. And then you wouldn't have all these queries all the time. It's the same people popping up every single month. Thank you, Madam Chair.
What are you proposing another bullet point?
Correct. Another bullet point to say that the UIF must improve its administration across the board. And they must report back to the committee on a quarterly basis as to what they've done to improve it.
Thank you. Do we have a problem with that, Honourable Members?
Yes, Chair.
Honourable Nontele?
No. Chair, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I want to add another bullet, Chair.
Please, you may.
Having said earlier on, Chair, that we have spoken in the earlier bullet, the opening statement on observations, talking to the impact of COVID-19 the challenges thereof, which in some of the parts were raised by the Honorable Kado. So as part and parcel of our recommendation, I propose that we should have the bullet that reads, UIF must find measures of attending to the rising unemployment figures that are occasioned by COVID-19. Such measures must include clearly thought out workable plans, and the quarterly reports should in fact be submitted. The plan in fact must be submitted by the next quarter and also quarterly, with quarterly targets that sets out on how we are going to deal with rising unemployment figures. Currently, as indicated in earlier arguments, just to further elaborate on the essence of this bullet, that as elaborated earlier on by contributions, including those of Honorable Card, was that the onset of COVID-19 has in fact damaged and closed a number of important livelihoods for our people. And this has resulted to more than 2 million jobs being lost within a very short time. And in that sense, therefore, we would need also to take into account that even the interim measures relating to the short-term 350, that is through social development, has since come to an end. What this means, therefore, that the pressure in our communities is, in fact, multiplying. That is the levels of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. In that sense, therefore, we are saying that the UIF must, in fact, have a much more broader appreciation of the challenge when looking into the unemployment and come up with a clearly articulated plan, which will be presented by the next quarter, and then it should be rolled out, so that we are able then to say how best we in fact responding to rising unemployment challenge. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nontele. Any comments? We are agreeing on the issues that have been. Can we then Productivity SA?
Can I make a comment, Madam Chair?
Yes, Honourable Begum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. I don't have any particular problems, again, with the bullet points themselves. But, again, we do understand and they've recognised that Productivity SA has not exactly covered itself in glory, in that productivity in South Africa is the worst in the world. And we must again have feedback from them as to what they're doing to try and look at overall productivity levels and report again to the committee. I would suggest on a quarterly basis again on what they're actually doing, because I know that 6 years ago, this committee went to a factory where Productivity SA was actually helping the factory. That was one example. I don't know of any other entity or factory that they've helped. I mean, we hear that they're doing things and they're championing visibility across the provinces, but I'm not sure who they're helping, because we've asked in one of the bullet points to provide a list of small businesses, but they won't help any small business under 20 employees. They've said that in their report. So we don't actually know who they're actually helping. We've asked for a list, but maybe not a small business, but even a big business, because I'm sure you, Madam Chair, don't know who they're actually helping. So I would add the extra bullet point that they must report back to the committee on a quarterly basis and telling us what they're doing to try and pull us out of the negative levels that we sit in the country at the moment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any comments on that, Honourable Members? Senor Paulette? We are fine with that.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm fine with the proposal, but I think I wanted to make this formulation for consideration of also for Honorable Baker that read as follows, that the beneficial aspects of the productivity SA work must be laid bare to workers by the entity. The reason why I'm saying that is because with due respect to the entity and its leadership, the point is that the extent to which productivity SA has been able to leave an imprint or make an imprint within the South African labour market is still to be realised, and we would need them to come up much more clearly as to how, for instance, they are going to change the mindset and the ability of ordinary workers to begin to appreciate the value of the productivity as a presence within their workplace environment in terms, for instance, of changing and assisting turnaround plans that would not just increase productivity, but will also contribute more to job creation and higher levels of productivity at the same time. So in that sense, therefore, I'm not too sure whether the formulation I'm proposing does in fact accommodate Honorable Bagram's assessments. But I would think that there is in fact an interrelationship a lot between the two proposals that we're making, so that when in fact they don't necessarily talk to one another, then they can be two different bullets. But if they do, in my view, I think they do, I suggest that we put the proposal that I'm putting forward, subject to his views. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Bagram.
Thank you, Chair. I do agree. This is one of those rare occasions where we have an agreement, but maybe we can add the two points together. I want to make a point that which underlines what we've just heard. We are at the moment in South Africa retrenching more people than we've ever done in our history. I've been looking at the figures that are coming through the CCMA, and we're retrenching more and more people. It would be wonderful if Productivity SA could get those initial referrals in terms of Section 189A that is referred to the CCMA, for Productivity to contact those employers and to say, can we have a look? And if we can... Sorry? What's going on there?
No, you may continue.
What we do know is that every proposed retrenchment, when there's more than 10 people in larger organizations, they have to refer that retrenchment proposal to the CCMA. Those referrals are available to the department. If the department could send those referrals to Productivity SA, who could then send an official to each one of those big institutions and say, how can we help to avoid the retrenchment? Well, we're seeing a lot of retrenchments in the SOEs. I think there's one big one going on right at the moment. And if Productivity came there and said, let's have a look at it, and let's see what we can do to try and avoid these retrenchments. It fits in with the point that's just been made prior to me by the Honorable Nonsela. And then we've got a recommendation that is absolutely solid. Then we can feel that as a committee, we've not only helped the workers of South Africa, but also the employers, where they don't need to retrench. They can try maybe restructure to accommodate to keep those employees on board. So I'm just looking for a practical way in which our recommendations would save jobs. Thank you, Madam.
I hope you have not confused the scribers on the edit recommendation, because you are raising too many things in one. But in principle, you are agreeing with Honorable Nonsele is agreeing on what you are saying. You are agreeing on what he is saying, but there must be a sentence that is going to take into account all the issues that you were raised around what then Productivity SA, its role in the challenge that we're having of high number of retrenchments. I hope the scribers have put that, because we'll just read that before we come to the finality of our report. I think we are now on NEDLAC.
Michael Cardo, Chair.
Honorable Cardo, who else wants to speak?
Michael Bagram.
Yes, Honorable Bagram. Okay. NEDLAC.
Chair, I see that we open off the batting by saying that we must get additional funding for NEDLAC. I just wondered how reasonable a recommendation or practicable a recommendation that is. I mean, you know, all these entities could do with more money. The fact is that there are severe budget constraints. So why should NEDLAC be any more worthy than the CCMA, for example, of a recommendation for extra money? But anyway, my core point is that bullet point three, I think, is one of those motherhood and apple pie recommendations, unless we can actually say how the agreements should be enforced. Bullet point four, I think that needs a bit of unpacking. For one thing, there's a spelling error there. It says NEDLAC must provide feedback on the reviewed entity statutes. That should be statutes. But what we really need is to get a report back on this governance task team that was set up in 2017 to review NEDLAC statutes and protocols. And you'll recall that the director of NEDLAC told us this week that they'd commissioned a study by the ILO and MISTRA, if that's how you pronounce it, which has produced a research report with various recommendations that was going to be presented to the governance task team this week. So I think we should make it explicit that NEDLAC must come back and brief the committee on the work of the governance task team to do with statutes and protocols. And then I'm just looking at the final bullet point. Yeah, I've got no problem with that. Thank you, Chair.
Are you proposing that bullet one must be deleted?
I would go so far as to delete it, yes. Principally because I think the real budgetary need is with the CCMA rather than NEDLAC. You know, if NEDLAC can shuffle its funds around to spend less on salaries, then all to the better. But I think the money more urgently needs to go to the CCMA than NEDLAC.
Okay. So you're proposing that bullet one must be deleted on NEDLAC, and a correction on statutes, but also with an addition that I hope the scribers have managed to capture that. I'm sorry, Honorable Bagram.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the first point I was going to make, exactly what Honorable Cardo said. In fact, I go one step further. I think their funding should actually be reduced. The funding that has reduced hasn't really done anything to them. And I was going to suggest that that funding be reallocated to, obviously, the CCMA and even possibly the UIF, who needs to employ more people on their call center. So I would suggest it be reduced. And then bullet point three, NEDLAC must ensure that agreements for stakeholders are enforced. I think we need to put in over there agreements with stakeholders and government needs to be enforced, because Every time we hear that NEDLAC's come to an agreement, we then find that government doesn't agree, which is much to the anger of the trade union movement. It doesn't help to have a talk shop and everyone agrees on something after 6 months of debate, and then they come and say, no, we're not going to put that to the portfolio committee. We're going to put something completely different. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other comments on NEDLAC? A clear proposal that bullet one must be deleted because there is an entity that will need that more than NEDLAC. We're all in agreement.
Chair, we are not in agreement. We can't agree to this proposal. NEDLAC is one of the critical institutions that help, firstly, to bring together social partners, provide a platform for government to engage more productively with the social partners. It also provides social partners a platform wherein they would interact with government, particularly on areas that are critically important to their constituencies. For instance, if there are any intended changes, say, for instance, I'm making an example to the labor law, which would adversely affect bargaining rights of workers. Obviously, that need to be in fact engaged and debated and disagreed if there is an area of disagreement at a particular platform. And that provides that platform for that kind of interface. I think we can go into a number of milestones wherein a government has in fact arrived at productive and workable outcomes through NEDLAC platform, where it has engaged with social partners. So the notion that says, therefore, NEDLAC must in fact be run down, because when you're saying that we should in fact take away funding, we are in fact basically arguing that it should be run down and therefore it should be closed, which is not a necessary or in fact a good assertion that could be associated with this committee. The second one that I would want to also to advance is that I think also DA, particularly for its constituency that is in the main business, DA should in fact not misrepresent its constituency here. Because these are the people who in fact benefit the most with the successes of the NEDLAC processes, because it in fact insulates them from potential labor disputes and a number of instabilities that would have ordinarily affected the market. So in a way, I think they must in fact look much more better in its priorities when it approaches issues relating to NEDLAC. I'm not saying that NEDLAC is a bourgeois institution, but rather pointing out the critical importance of NEDLAC, because it provides a necessary platform for all the social partners to interface with government, particularly on critical legislation that impacts on their constituencies. And in this regard, the pieces of legislation that regulate the labor market today are a product of that interface. As I've said, that if we can take it one by one, we can go to town to talk into that. Having said that, my point therefore, Chair, is to say the argument for additional funding that should be made available for NEDLAC is in fact a right one. It's a right one in the sense that we have just were coming from talking to additions on the Unemployment Insurance Fund, UIF, where we acknowledge also as part of our opening statement on observation, that we acknowledge the impact that has been made by the onset of COVID-19, the massive job losses that have impacted on our people, and the extent of those have resulted, in fact, on more inequality that, in fact, is going to be much longer sustained. And also the question of unemployment that has skyrocketed. More than 2 million people have lost their jobs. A number of small businesses have closed. The economy is in a crisis. We have, in fact, a number of challenges, including what we're talking about, that is, in fact, the constraints fiscally that has resulted in budget cuts. All these need the social partners to interface, to find amicable solutions to the problem that are besetting our economy and our country. And if then you are going to say, and argue that NEDLAC has to be, in fact, to be almost closed, because taking funding away from NEDLAC, you're closing it. Then it means that you're denying the government, you're denying the social partners, you're denying even the DA itself a platform to interface with critical stakeholders so that they provide sustainable solutions to our South African economy. So in that sense, therefore, Chair, the proposal for us is that we should, in fact, retain the formulation as it stands. If there is anything that needs to be done, in fact, we need to restate it more and more, that additional funding should be made available to NEDLAC, so that we make it to enable it to fully implement its statutory obligations. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, Reverend Mkhondo.
I stand to be corrected, Chair. The budget that has been given to the department is already there. And when looking at the entities and the department as to where exactly the funds should be made available or additional funds, I think what Honorable Mtabe has just said, it's correct. But considering exactly what he has just said, can we prioritize in terms of the COVID-19 resulting in more conflict between employees and employers, the high number of retrenchments, and so forth and so forth? Can we then prioritize? We are having here NEDLAC, we are having CCMA, we are having UIF, and all these three entities, we feel they need additional funding. So in terms of the issue of where does it matter most, where is it going to have more impact on the general worker there at the peripheries of this country? How are we going to prioritize? That's where I agree with Honorable Background to say, let us prioritize the budget that is there for NEDLAC for now. According to my opinion, my view, Chair, it's okay. Then we need additional funding to CCMA, maybe and UIF. That is where the additional funding is going to have more impact. But the funding that is there for NEDLAC, let it not be tampered with. It must remain as it is for it to be able to execute the things that Honorable has just raised. Because they are very crucial. We cannot turn a blind eye on that one. it's a very crucial matter that he has raised, but then I think we have to prioritize. Thanks, Chair.
UIF gets funding from levies that are paid by the employers and the employees, and therefore it's not being funded. It's an entity under the department, but this funding is not coming from the fiscus of the department. So the long and the short is that in this argument is that we leave NEDLAC 0.1 as it is. Any other comments, Honourable Begram, on bullet number 2 from the bottom? Can you made some additions there? Can you just remind us? Are you still around, Honourable Begram?
I am. Sorry. Okay, I'm here. The bullet point is the second from the bottom. No, it's not. It's the third from the bottom. It's the third bullet point. NEDLAC must ensure that agreement to stakeholders is enforced. I wanted to put in particular, government. In other words, if there's an agreement reached at NEDLAC, government must follow what that agreement is unless they have a particular issue in terms of statute. Because what's happened is there often are agreements. In fact, I think over the last 3 years, there's been 4 different agreements that I've got notes of that they agreed with the social partners, including government sitting there, and then when it went back to government and their legal advisors, they did exactly the opposite as to what NEDLAC agreed. So we're asking for NEDLAC to ensure that agreement with stakeholders is enforced, and I must say in particular, government as well.
Why, if I may ask, why in particular are you confident that private sector live to the agreement that they have agreed on NEDLAC?
Yeah, because the history has told us that both the trade union movement and the private sector have reached agreement with government at NEDLAC, and then government reneges on it.
Okay, I don't want to go into that because there are any comments on that, honourable members?
Chair, just a point of clarity.
Yes.
Yeah, with your clarity, Chair, are we saying therefore that the formulation as it stands should stand? The clarity that you have given that the UIF is correctly not a subject of the debate that we're having. And therefore, we're talking about 2 entities here, which is NEDLAC and CCMA. And that if prioritization is to be given, therefore it has to be given to both of them, not the UIF.
Yes, no, UIF is not part of the, remember, it's at the UIF gets its funding from the levies that are played. It's not part of it. It doesn't get fiscus from the department as an entity. So entities that we are talking about, it will then be NEDLAC. We are at NEDLAC now. When we are done with agreeing on what we are recommending, then we'll come to CCMA. I was just making a correction there, which I think is a correction which is necessary and important. So we are agreeing that we leave 0.1 in NEDLAC as it is, and are we agreeing with the addition on 0.3 in what Honourable Begram is raising? That all stakeholders must adhere to the agreement, in particular government. Is If then we are silent, it means that we are agreeing. We'll make a correction on the entity review entity statutes.
Chair, just the point. I'm not talking on behalf of government, but my worry is that if you are going to lift one stakeholder above others, the problem is that there might be an impression that there is no obligation on others to in fact to ensure that the agreements are enforced, in particular business. So if we are to lift, my suggestion is that we should not just lift government. We should lift all those who have the potential to make agreements unworkable. Yeah, particularly those two, that is business and government. If I were to talk into that, otherwise I would argue for the retention of the formulation as it is, because it talks to everyone, community, labor, business, and government. Thank you, sir.
No, that's why the question was why pick on government? What about private sector? So can we agree that we leave the formulation as it is, so that we don't create that thing? And all stakeholders have got that responsibility. CCMA.
If I may, Madam Chair.
On CCMA, I see Honourable Gatane's hand. The next one is Honourable Bakram.
Yes, thank you so much, Chairperson. Chair, I'm trying to link the two points or two bullet points on the recommendations that the committee has observed, Chair, because the first one is speaking about the funding issues and the second one is speaking about advancing the digitalization of the CCMA. So in trying to link both bullet points, Chair, I want to propose another point, Chair, which is bullet number 3 and 4, Chair.
Yes,
what I'm proposing, Chair, is that we need to actually relook at our institutional arrangement as the department broadly or holistically, Chair, as to ensure that we are responsive to the needs of our society as far as the CCMA is concerned. And we need to restructure in a way, Chair, by ensuring that even our vulnerable workers, they do access the services of this entity by creating a one-stop shop, Chair, when it comes to the services of employment and labor, in ensuring that we enhance and improve our work. Then we consolidate and try to be visible in all labor centers by accommodating, amongst others, the CCMA for easy access to workers and everyone else looking for employment and labor-related matters. And meaning that when you look at our remote areas, Chair, we do have these labor centers, but it is quite difficult for our vulnerable workers to access the CCMA because it is more centralized. When we look at these labor centers that are decentralized, you will notice that we do have basic functional requirements which will make our work easier for the vulnerable workers to get assistance if we have this one-stop shop. The last point, Chair, that I'm proposing, Chair, is that we need to make sure that, Chair, because amongst the things that one has noticed is that it sounds as if the system that we're utilizing, the digital system, is not user-friendly to the service users. We need then to make sure that even those that are not well informed about the proficient in the use of modern technology, they continue to access CCMA services with ease, Chair. That's my submission, Chair, that we need to add those 2 points on recommendations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Those are the recommendations, honorable members. Accessibility of CCMA and CCMA and the department, and the department looking and considering the issue of having a one-stop shop so that all services are under one roof for communities, especially those that are vulnerable, are able to access them. Any comments?
Madam Chair, Michael Bagram, I did want to make some comments.
Honourable Bagram.
May I go ahead, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate it. And the only 2 comments that we've been made in terms of our recommendation. The first one, we say additional funding. I'm not really sure where you got that from, because, as you know, the funding has been allocated to the department, and this committee does not want to take money away from any other entity. And if they don't want to take money away from any other entity, well, then where are you going to find the additional funding? So that's a bit silly for us to even put that one in. I would suggest we then rub it out, because no one agrees with me in the previous point. The second point is that the advancing digitalization, well, I'm going to just tell you, I don't know if anyone else in the committee has had this experience, but around the country, the workers of South Africa can't physically go into the CCMA anywhere in the country to lodge a dispute. They have to do it online. Now, my experience has been that the workforce of South Africa, largely, and I'm saying this obviously off the top of my head, they don't have access to the computers, the data, the wherewithal, the know-how, all sorts of issues that arise out of trying to lodge your dispute digitally. The only way you can properly do it is through a trade union, and even then they're reporting that they've got major problems. So what I'm suggesting is that we ask the CCMA to open its doors. They can follow all the COVID protocols with pleasure, but they should open their doors and allow workers to come in and lodge their disputes. There are people who are going there and getting turned away, never mind in the small areas, in the large areas as well. It's created an absolute nightmare where people can't lodge disputes. And you know, Madam Chair, if you can't use the CCMA, then the Labor Relations Act is worthless, because if you can't enforce your rights, then why have a right in the first place? Thank you.
Any other comments before I speak, I reflect on my difficulties on what you have said, Honorable Mkhonto?
Yes, Chair.
Chair, are you giving me the opportunity?
Yes, Honorable Mkhonto. Okay.
Chair, we understand that this is a high-level document. It's a strategic document. But what has been raised by Honorable Nkabane is very, very important. I don't know how can we not lose what she has said. and put it maybe in some implementation documents to be specific as to how are the ordinary workers, will it be made possible for them to access CCMA services. We have chair what we call in South Africa multi-purpose centers, and we also have traditional offices. It's just that I'm afraid, Chair, as she was putting it, that we cannot put it in this document because this is a strategic document. But then, Chair, I'm just saying, if all of us, we can be able to ensure that when it comes to the documents at implementation level, that is not forgotten, because it's a big challenge, Chair. We cannot turn a blind eye on it. Thank you.
Honorable Nonsele.
Thank you, Chair. I think in some parts, Honorable Kondo has covered the points that I would have raised. But just as a point of emphasis, Chair, I think just also to clarify the points. Firstly, with regard to the issue of where funding would come, I think that we should, in fact, not escape the reality that says currently, as we speak, most of government services are, in fact, operated from home. And most of our staff are, in fact, operating from home and using their technology equipment like computers and so on, and they are not in fact physically in their offices. That's the reality. That's what we're living with, not because of any other reason other than the one that we have indicated, which talks to the conditions of occasion by COVID-19. The second point is that it does, in fact, appear that beyond COVID-19, which I don't know when will it happen, that some of the aspects that relate, for instance, to cost centers would, in fact, either be diminished or be minimized, meaning that you would have, in some ways, money that would have ordinarily gone into those cost centers that would need to be redirected. And the point and the proposal, therefore, that talks to the principles and the framework that Honorable Ngabane is in fact putting forward is essentially to say that we should in fact adapt to conditions that we in fact are faced with, so that we in fact, when talking about CCMA, we don't talk about CCMA as an institution that operates from the vacuum, but understand that CCMA is part and parcel of the Department of Employment and Labor. And with the Department of Employment and Labor having almost 126 labor centers across the country, what benefit then that can be derived from the presence of those labor centers? Should we in fact enjoy or continue to operate in the old way of saying disputes are in fact handled by CCMA, which is located in Johannesburg, and the worker from Hammanskraal must travel to Johannesburg to look for CCMA, when in fact there are labor centers that they would ordinarily be going past before they arrive at the CCMA office. So what the proposal basically says is that the labor center offices must in fact facilitate both in terms of reduction of the distances, in terms of travel, but also create conditions that are necessary for ordinary workers who would want to access services of CCMA from the points of the labor centers. And where, for instance, workers are unable to use computers, there has to be some kind of assistance that is arranged in there, so that nobody would go away from the labor center saying, I'm unable to access CCMA because this labor center says, if I can't use a computer, therefore I'm out. The other point that is important that in terms of the proposal that Honorable Ngabane is putting forward is that even in the CCMA centers, there has to be this kind of appreciation of the conditions within which we are operating in. The point that Honorable Baikram is raising is that, in fact, it is now as if we're operating under ordinary or conditions that do not exist within a COVID pandemic. We, in fact, are operating under conditions of COVID-19, which basically means as much as we can, we need, in fact, to reduce or to ensure we minimize the risk of exposure and ensuring that people continue to live whilst they continue to, in fact, to enjoy their livelihoods. That would include ensuring that disputes are, in fact, not prolonged, they are resolved within reasonable time, and the services of CCMA are, in fact, provided within reasonable time. But however, the question of day-to-day conduct is, in fact, due to these conditions, going to be limited. And in that sense, even if you go to CCMA, you may be out of necessity, be forced, in fact, to implement the same conditions that you would want to implement on a labor center. That is of do-it-yourself computer in a corner, and also assistance for those who would not be able to do it on another corner. So in a way, therefore, I don't think, Chair, that we should, in fact, be arguing for this proposal or formulation to be taken out of this statement, because it's consolidated enough and it does not speak to the issues which I'm currently breaking down to say what it means in vitro sense. But it's a principle that must be captured, and therefore beyond this point, then the department must be able to break it down into key themes that would in fact operationalize it, so that we are able therefore to on an ongoing basis to oversight on it and to ensure that in fact the services that we need with regard to CCMA are in fact made available. In conclusion, Chair, is that whatever saving that arises from the points that I've raised earlier on, wherein we're saying that in fact in almost all the departments that there's bound to be a saving given this kind of environment that we're living in. And therefore, the priority for every available cent, rand and cent, those rands and cents must, in fact, be prioritized for the operation of the CCMA and as well as NetLed. Yeah, they can vary in terms of percentages on how they are allocated, but we think that there is, in fact, an opportunity for savings to be realized, and therefore those savings should in fact be made available to ensure that CCMA in particular is in fact made to realize its readily needed services on an ongoing basis. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. There are two things that I would have thought it would have been appropriate if they have then been would have been more fair and objective if they were raised when the department was with us. I don't think it is fair for the department to say there are no offices of CCMA that are opened. And the generalization of that for me is a problem, because we are to point to the department, and so that they are then able to respond. If we now say here they must open, we have never put it to them that in fact all your offices are closed. Where are those offices closed? Is it in the Western Cape? Is it in the Eastern Cape? Where in the Eastern Cape? So I'm trying to say it's fine. Some of the things, I've been quiet now. I decided to be quiet because some of the issues that members are raising, they are more starting to engage in a debate instead of just pointing that we are recommending this and make a brief motivation why this recommendation and why this change. So I think it in us moving forward, we will then have to do that. And I'm of the understanding that there are those that are arguing, it has been argued before we come into this entity that a fund must be added, but there is then a proposal of then how that addition. So we are recommending that the department must look into all other entities. Now that we're working at home, I'm sure there are savings that have been made, and those savings must then be put in CCMA. So I'm just trying to summarize, but I have got a problem with an assertion that is then that we must put here that all they must open up and then what open up. We have not challenged them, that minister and DG, our understanding that all CCMA offices are closed, because that's what Honorable Bikram is implying, and therefore they must be opened. Yes, there is an online application, and I think we'll then have to, at some point, I think we must then come back and look into this thing of the CCMA, rather than being general on the basis of how we feel as individual members or as individual political parties. I don't think that is fair to the department, and I'm not implying that we must not raise the issues that we're not comfortable with in terms of the department, with the understanding that CCMA is under dire stress. None of us is talking about what then. It can never be just retrenchments willy-nilly. I'm saying willy-nilly because the volume of people that are retrenched is raising it's going up every day, and therefore that is why a question was put in DG and CCMA executive director that it's not about time that all stakeholders talk about this, that it can't be. Where is it? I was called by, that's why I'm able to say, I was called by a worker in Naisna who was saying, we are working in a resort and we the employer is engaged, is talking about retrenchment. We have never been called in a meeting and be engaged on why they are going to be retrenched. And therefore, I think it's important that NEDLAC also, with all its responsibilities, but must look into this thing of CCMA. So we will factor in those, but in the main is that CCMA is to be, yes, there's no money, but the department must scrap around and prioritize the issue of CCMA, because we are going to have a serious problem in moving forward. Having said that, honorable members, can we then go to compensation fund? Any comments? Okay, but it looks there. I'm not quite sure, Honorable Nonsela, is it an old hand or is it a new hand?
No, it's an old hand.
Okay. Is there any other comments on compensation fund? I think it's the last, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Ngobo. I think, Honourable Members, with all the additions and the reformulations in this report, can we then get a formal mover?
Honourable Ngabane
Chair.
I Nobuhle Ngabane move for the adoption of the report with all the amendments, the additions, and reformulations that have been made. Thank you, Chair.
Can we get a seconder?
Aye, Chairperson.
Honorable Zuma.
Aye, Honorable Sibongile Zuma. I formally second Honorable Ngabane to move the adoption.
Thank you very much, Honourable.
Madam Chair, if you could note my objection.
The objection of the Democratic Alliance is noted.
Also, please note the objection of the FS Plus, Madam Chair.
Good morning, Honourable Dana. The objection.
Good morning, Chair.
The objection of Freedom Farm Plus is noted.
Chair, I also object EFF.
The EFF, the objection of EFF is also noted. Thank you, Honorable Members. We will, on Friday.
Is EFF objecting to its motions? I'm joking.
That is on a lighter note. we are preparing for. The members will then be aware that on the 15th, mini plenaries on the 14th, mini plenaries at 1000 hours on Friday for for vote 31 on employment and labor. The debate is at that time. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Our meeting stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Inkosi Chair, Inkosi Chair.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Chair.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.